Home of the brave and land of the free? Not for some. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
It's good to be with you, Barry. I know that a little later today we have a guest, so that's going to be interesting to fit into this time slot. But we always do stuff interesting on this program, so looking forward to that.
Okay, well, since you just ruined my surprise that I was going to give everybody.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
No, that's perfectly
what
fine.
What else is new?
What else is new? No, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to be talking about an issue that will seem like it only applies to a small, disparate group of people. But in reality, the underlying truth of this matter, the underlying importance of this matter, affects each and every one of us. Whether you are in this small, disparate subcategory or not. And we need to unpack this, and so we're going to be having a special guest on here in a little bit who's been following this issue probably much more closely than either Chuck or I have been following it, although shame on us, we should have been following this much more closely ourselves based upon our own backgrounds.
Yeah, exactly.
You see, because both my colleague and I are homeschoolers. Chuck has matriculated all three of his daughters through home education programs, and they're out beating the world right now in higher education and in life. And I'm in the midst of doing that with my three young ones who are looking like they're heading that direction as well. Now, the problem is,
well,
Chuck,
let's stop for a minute, because it's like a large percentage of homeschool family whose kids are out there beating the world and beating the academic game, because the fact is that we don't teach our kids what to think in homeschool. We teach them how to think. And there is a big difference between teaching them how to think and teaching them what to think.
Right. Now, I know that sometimes many outside the homeschooling movement, especially those who are, shall we say, intimately wed to a certain type of government program, would claim that many homeschoolers, that's the problem, Chuck. You're just teaching them what to think. You're just drilling your own narrow-minded values into them, and you're not giving them experience, diversity, multiculturalism, appreciation of the world, or my favorite, socialization.
Well, yes. Let me explain to you how wrong that is.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, I have a daughter who is currently, I think, in her junior year at Ohio State, after and having mostly paid for her own education by her own work, is a history major at Ohio State after starting at Columbus State. In fact, she's getting a history in women's history. She's tending to lean to women's history. So it's been a real interesting experience. But she is just got an invitation. It's one of those things. Kids get them. But she's going on an archaeological dig in Greece this summer. Now, does a kid who doesn't have any social skills or any socialization, I really don't think that my daughter has any particular lack of socialization. My other daughter is learning vet tech and has many, many friends, and is actually, she's actually helping other kids that she works with decide whether or not they want to be vet techs. So, yeah, socialization problems, it's a bugaboo. It's really nonsense. My kids, thanks to their mother, because I'm sort of a recluse. She's the person who is a little more social than I am. My oldest daughter, wow, she has no socialization problems whatsoever, never has had. When she was little, we used to have to stop her because she'd go up to people we'd never seen before. Hi, I'm Liz. My mom's name is Jenny. My dad's name is Chuck. Would you like to come over to our house? That kind of stuff. So socialization for homeschool kids, not a problem.
Yeah, it's usually not. But most people who don't have never intersected with homeschooling families have this, well, shall we say, media-driven mischaracterization of what homeschooling's all about. Actually, and it's interesting, Chuck, because you think about it, in the vast majority of instances today, now homeschooling obviously has been around since the garden because everybody educated their own children. However, in its modern concept, its modern format, it really has only been around since maybe about the 70s, late 60s, early 70s. Didn't really take off until the 80s. But since the 80s, not only have you seen a large, almost exponential growth in the number of families choosing to home educate their children, you now have second generation and sometimes third generation homeschool families. We don't have all of the negatives that were, you know, that people try to associate with homeschooling. We don't have a bunch of kids out there who are all antisocial and, you know, going down the street and just striking people. Oh, wait a minute. We do. Oh, no, those are mostly kids that are public schooled. Okay, I forgot about that. But what we do have is situations like major universities in this country creating frameworks in order to accredit homeschoolers' portfolios in order to get them to come to their schools, because they realized something. With the vast majority of homeschooled students, there's no need for remedial courses. There's no need for English 001 or mathematics 010, because there's more rigor involved. Now, again, that isn't true with every homeschool environment, but by and large, and I think you guys even ran into this too. You had schools that were recruiting
your
daughters to come
there. Well, for instance, Columbus State was very interested when they heard she had been homeschooled, my oldest daughter. And we've had friends, my daughter's at the Bradford School, and we'd had friends who told us they'd had trouble at the Bradford School because of certain kinds of transcripts weren't available and that kind of thing. But by the time my daughter went down there, they were very happy to get a homeschool child. The one thing about remedial training, my daughter did need a little bit of mathematics. And it's because she's not a science math person. She's a literature history person.
Okay.
That doesn't excuse mom and dad from the responsibility of making sure they had good mathematical education. We did our best on that issue, and we struggled around with what kind of curriculum to use. No more so than the public school, and believe me, she was much better prepared than most public school kids, because when she went into some remedial math, she zoomed right through it. She cut through it like a hot knife through butter. It really wasn't that tough. She'd seen it all before. I'm sure if she went, you know, she's not a calculus type person.
Well, more power to her. I'm not either. When I got to college, I kind of died on differential equations.
I got as high as three-dimensional vector calculus before I sort of rattled apart. And I still cringe when I hear that a plane is defined as a point and a vector. Okay, whatever.
Okay. Well, but the whole point is, Chuck, that we have the right to educate our children at home, and you don't have to be an expert in all fields in order to educate your own children.
That's right.
You just have to have the desire, and as one of the inside tricks says, just stay one chapter ahead of them. But honestly, with most homeschooled students, by the time they reach a little bit older age, you know, when they start getting into their early, you know, late adolescence, early teen years, they can pretty much self-direct. I know. My children are very, I mean, we pick out curriculum, mind you, but honestly, for enrichment and their own interests, they're so far beyond and above what I could even possibly hope to teach them, and they're doing it the way that we do it now as adults. They're going to the library and they're getting books, they're going online and they're watching instructional videos, and they're talking with their colleagues, their friends, socialization, yes, even in homeschooling, and finding out ways of collaborating and doing teamwork.
Almost everybody I know has some kind of a homeschool type community. We didn't do it that much, but even when we'd get together with people that were doing homeschooling. So where we're really going with that is that the public school environment is absolutely not necessary. And in fact, it is actually, in many cases, destructive because, as I mentioned at the front, we're not teaching to tests here.
Right.
We weren't teaching to tests. We were teaching so that kids understood how to come up with the answers themselves.
Exactly. Not what to think, how to think.
And that's the difference. This is why people that are so deeply connected with the public school system, especially from the teaching end, really hate what we do.
Well, and it's not just here, Chuck, because anytime you have a government or a state who wants to tell somebody what to think, then they're going to be opposed to homeschooling. And that brings us to what we're talking about today. It's a case that it should be shocking for most of our listeners and for the vast majority of people in this country. It's the case of Uwe and Hannelore Rummage. Yes, that's right. The name sounds foreign because they're Germans. They're German citizens. But what happened to them didn't happen in Germany. Started there, but the ongoing saga, Act Two, is here on American soil. You see, Uwe and Hannelore Rummage homeschool their children. But in Germany, that's illegal. In Germany, you can be fined, you can be imprisoned, you can have your children taken away from you by the state for home educating. And because Uwe and Hannelore are Christians and they believe that it's their duty and their responsibility to home educate their children, they fled Germany and came to the United States and actually moved to Tennessee. Now, to give you a little bit of background, they have six children, five of whom were born in Germany, one, a young daughter who was born here in Tennessee. That'll make it interesting when we talk about deportation.
Definitely.
And in August of 2008, they left Germany and came to the United States to live. Now, in early 2010, a immigration judge here in the United States granted the Rummages their request for asylum because they realized that if they went back to Germany, they would be fined, imprisoned, and their family would be torn apart.
Their children would be stolen from them.
It would become wards of the state.
Yeah, well, same thing.
Exactly. However, after that ruling, obviously the justice system got involved because in May of 2012, the United States Board of Immigration Appeals, a federal agency, overturned the decision of the judge to grant them asylum. Oh, well, who in this administration has been going and having meetings with the German government for the last 3 or 4 years? Oh, Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they were directly involved, but I think later on when we have our guest on, he'll tell you about some of the non-involvement of the Obama administration. Well, so that happened in May of 2012. Well, in October of 2012, a Homeschool Legal Defense Association got involved, and they appealed this Board of Immigration Appeals ruling. Now, the appeal, Chuck, and this is another problem in our bureaucratically laden environment here in this country, they had to appeal to the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, it's interesting. They took it directly from an administrative court directly to the United States Court of Appeals. Now, that could be because they didn't want to go through the district court and they realized they could bring it to appeal. But the point is that why in the world was an administrative body involved in this legal decision?
Because this is not about personal rights. This is about control and it's about power.
Well, I think you're right on that. Well, in April of 2013, there were oral arguments before the United States, the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and Ohio's in that circuit. That's Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and Tennessee are the four states that the 6th Circuit is over. They meet down in Cincinnati, and the Uwe and Hannelore, the Rummages, live in Tennessee. So they are within the 6th Circuit's jurisdiction. Well, HSLDA filed an appeal of the decision to the 6th Circuit, and it was at that point that the Obama administration, the Department of Justice, our good friend Eric Holder, and his attorneys weighed in on the case to argue against the Rummages, to argue that parents do not have the fundamental right to direct the education of their children, and therefore, since they don't have the right, it isn't a standard for which asylum should be granted. Now, roll ahead because they lost at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Romickies did. The court, and we'll put this up. It's from HSLDA's webpage. We'll link to it. They have the case files. They have the history and everything. I haven't had a chance to go through all of them yet, but they sided with the government. Well, HSLDA appealed to the United States Supreme Court to review the case. Well, on Monday of this week, and we're taping this on Wednesday afternoon, on Monday, the United States Supreme Court denied cert, i.e. they refused to hear a review of the case, thus allowing the Sixth Circuit ruling to stand and putting the Romickies in the position of being deported back to Germany. Except the public outcry for Monday to today, Wednesday as we're taping this, has been so great that the administration decided to take a mulligan.
Yep.
And so the Department of Homeland Security, mind you, has issued a temporary or what they call a deferred action status indefinitely on this case. In other words, we're not going to touch these people. We're not going to deport them back right now. Now, we're bringing a guest on here in a minute or so who we've had on the program before, who knows about homeschool issues and who's a good thinker on these issues. And we're going to be talking to him about this, but I'm also going to be sharing when we talk with him, because I'm going to ask him about this, whether or not this timing is suspicious in a political frame of mind. And I'll just leave that right there as we go into it and as we bring our guest on via Skype, because we're, and Chuck, you're working on all the magic there to get that going. But this is an issue that I hope our listeners stay tuned for to hear our guests, because it isn't just affecting homeschoolers. It's affecting every parent of every child in the United States of America today. Ladies and gentlemen, because neither Chuck nor I have had the time to really be able to unpack this case the way it should, we called on an expert. And that an expert in homeschooling, an expert in homeschooling politics, and someone who's familiar to this program because we've had him on the air before. Our special guest today is Mark Stevenson, who is the executive director of Ohioans for Educational Freedom, or OhioansForFreedom.com. If you want to go over to the website, you can also find the link there on our website at principalpolicy.com to Mark's website. Mark is a homeschooling father, homeschool leader, homeschool advocate, and homeschool PAC director. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Homeschoolers in Ohio actually have a political action committee because we realize that politics do play a role in homeschooling, or does play a role, I should say. You can tell I'm not the English teacher in my homeschool. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to be here, Chuck and Barry.
Well, Mark, we want to thank you for taking time. This was kind of a little bit short notice because, you know, this issue with the Romicki family just came out. Obviously, it's been going through the courts now for over a year, but it just came out, as we mentioned earlier, that the United States Supreme Court had denied reviewing the appeal from Homeschool Legal Defense Association, HSLDA, for this family who immigrated to the United States from Germany because in Germany they were not going to be allowed to home educate their children. And so they came to America to seek asylum, to have the freedom to follow the right that they have, a fundamental parental right, mind you, to educate their own children. Now, Mark, you want to give us a little bit more background and your analysis on this case, because, you know, as we're going to taping here today, there's just been an announcement made just a little bit earlier that the Department of Homeland Security. Now, of course, just to backfill this, that when the Supreme Court denied hearing the appeal from the Circuit Court of Appeals, basically, the Romickies were to be deported back to Germany, where they would have been forced to put their children in the government-run schools and not being able to homeschool or else go to jail for it. But Homeland Security, after a significant uproar, once this non-decision by the Supreme Court, or the decision not to review the case, had been heard, the Department of Homeland Security issued them a indefinite deferred status, basically meaning we're not going to deport you, we're not going to send you out of the country until we figure out how we can do this and get away with it politically. And that's just me talking, that's not Homeland Security talking. Mark, what's your take on this?
Well, you know, first, Barry, this has been a very bizarre case. You know, this is the land of the home of the land of the brave and home of the free, you know, and, you know, we're getting to realize that we're not very free anymore. And, you know, this case has been going through the courts for a number of years now, so it's not like this is a new thing. But the recent 2 or 3 weeks here are the waiting weeks that everybody has been waiting for the U.S. Supreme Court to decide whether or not they were going to hear it. We've been keeping track for the last 2 weeks pretty intently when Mike Ferris went on Facebook and basically told everybody that a week ago this Monday, last Monday, mm-hmm. last week, that the U.S. Supreme Court was due to come down on a number of cases and that the Romica case was supposed to be included. We waited, and everybody kind of breathed a sigh of relief after Mike Ferris came back on Facebook later that day and said, all the cases that they came out on today, they had denied. So we're glad we really weren't in that set of cases. So we wait until this Friday. And that was last Friday. So once again, we all kind of huddle around near the 9 to 10 o'clock hour to find out what the U.S. Supreme Court was going to say. And once again, the Romica case was not there. And so later on that day, Mike Ferris came out and basically said, well, you know, we still have the indicator that there may be some good things coming this coming Monday. So we wait again till then. So, you know, and during this whole thing, I'm sure there have been literally thousands of homeschool families across the country praying for the U.S. Supreme Court and for the Romica case. And so Monday, when we are all waiting for the third time again, they came out and denied to hear the case. And it just was a real letdown. And not only that, but in the background of this, because Eric Holder and the Department of Justice won in the last court of appeal or last circuit court, the statement was basically made that, you know, the Department of Justice said requiring children of all backgrounds to be taught in a state-approved schools assists in the goal of promoting socialization, pluralism, tolerance, and democracy. And you know what? That is a chilling statement from the U.S. Department of Justice. Right. And for the U.S. Supreme Court to vacate this case and to basically allow that to stand should send a huge signal to homeschoolers across the United States that we are still in a very precarious situation. Now, as you had said earlier, Barry, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security came out and informed the Romica family that they were given a stay in this country. And I have to confess, I don't know how all this works. I don't know how the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security trump each other, or you know, I don't know how that works. But evidently, you know, with the supervisor from the Department of Homeland Security telling the Romica family they have been granted an indefinite deferred status is almost like nobody ever saw that one coming. And when Mike Ferris came before the microphones on last night, Tuesday evening, he was basically giving all credit and glory to God because it's an absolute miracle that this kind of came out of nowhere. But it's also being surmised that, you know, there were definite signs in the media that where the Romicas were staying in Tennessee, that a lot of the homeschoolers were starting to say, and there was a news report from Fox News that homeschoolers in the state of Tennessee were going to start rising up they were going to defend the Romica family. So there was an uprising that could have potentially happened, and it is surmised that possibly the administration had thought better of the situation and not caused all this ruckus to continue. And so maybe they just relented. But either way, you know, it's still out there. The Department of Justice words are still out there. And so even though it looks like the Romica situation has been resolved at the moment, We're still not out of the woods. And I think if Mike Ferris were to come out with a complete analysis, I think he would say the same thing.
Well, I would hope so, Mark, because the way it was worded was that the Homeland Security verbally informed HSLDA that they're being granted, and I quote, indefinite deferred action status.
Yes.
That's not a free pass in saying we're invalidating the decision of the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is where this case was heard. And then when the Supreme Court denied certiorari on the case, i.e. just declined to hear it, this isn't necessarily a big win. For the Romicky family, yes, it allows them to have more time here in order to build support, in order to continue to homeschool their children with some modicum of freedom. However, when you have an agency like Homeland Security saying, well, we're just indefinitely deferring action, that doesn't mean that we are ceasing action. It means that when the political environment gets better for it, or we think that people have ignored this enough and it go away, we'll go ahead and take the action. We're deferring it right now, but we're going to come back on it. And honestly, yes, this is a kind of a unique situation in one sense, Mark, because this family is an immigrant family from Germany, a country that doesn't recognize homeschooling. Matter of fact, it's illegal in Germany to homeschool. That's the reason why if they're deported back, they're going to be facing fines, possible imprisonment, the separation of their family by the state. And we all here in America who enjoy our liberties, you know, it's funny you use the term home of the brave and land of the free, because that's how I opened this program this morning before we called you up, that maybe not so much anymore. And I think it's a cautionary note, Mark, because most people may be scratching their head and say, well, what does a immigrant family from Germany have to do with our rights here in the United States? Well, I think that there are some lessons to be taken from this. And, Mark, you can jump in at any time. You can help me with this, or you can contradict me if I'm going down the wrong path. But the first lesson I think to take from this is we really don't have any friend or support in the Obama administration. There was a petition that was signed by hundreds of thousands of people asking the administration to get involved, to intercede in this case, and support the family in their petition to stay in the country in order to homeschool their children. And the Obama administration not only refused to respond to that petition, which was online, this was a petition that the White House has set up itself in order to get people's input on things. Not only did they refuse to comment on it, well, there was some little passing language about, you know, how home, you know, parents, you know, options for homeschooling, et cetera, and excellence and things of that nature. You know, it's all kind of boilerplate. But there was no support there. But what you did find was then you turned around and you had Eric Holder's Justice Department, as you just mentioned, actually pushing to say there is no fundamental right of a parent to educate their own children. Now, even though this case involves a family from Germany who are immigrants, this is an American official in the Department of Justice of the United States, arguing before the United States Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, which, ladies and gentlemen, Ohio sits in. It's Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and Tennessee are in the Sixth Circuit. Basically putting forth the government, the United States government's claim, not the German government's, the United States government's claim that there is no fundamental right for parents to direct or to educate their own children in this country. Mark, am I missing something here, or am I accurate on that?
No, that's very accurate. In fact, again, you know, what we should all, the takeaway from this is that nothing's been settled, and that for the very first time in American history, a presidential administration has gone out and basically told homeschoolers they don't have a fundamental human right to teach their children. And you know what? That is just unbelievable. And, you know, everybody should be, all Christians in this country, actually, whether you support homeschooling or not, you should be outraged that this administration absolutely just denies religious freedom to not only homeschoolers, but to churches and to pastors or even business leaders, as in the state of what was it, Arizona recently, that basically denied Christian business leaders the opportunity to
have to violate their religious rights. That's right. Yeah. You're talking about, well, and that was based on a case coming out of New Mexico, the Elaine photography case, and then one coming out of Colorado, which was the Baker. Right. Yeah, you're right. Arizona, the governor refused or vetoed a piece of legislation to called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And it's interesting, Mark, as you bring this up, because that one's near and dear to my heart, because I was helping to work on the Ohio version of Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And the day that Governor Brewer vetoed that bill, the two sponsors of the Ohio Religious Freedom Restoration Act, House Bill 376, formally withdrew the bill.
Yes.
Stopped it from being considered any further. Now, why? I don't know, because to this point, neither one of the sponsors have returned phone calls. I'm a little upset about that, as you might be able to tell here, folks. And hopefully by the time this airs, that situation will have been rectified. But ultimately, it was because the demagoguing of the issue around homosexuality that, for some reason, you can't hold deeply held, sincerely held religious beliefs and express them as a business owner, as someone who, maybe let's say you want to put out a symbol of your religious belief in your front yard, your homeowners association. Let's say you're a sincere Catholic, and you want to put out a statue of the Blessed Virgin in your front yard. Well, someone could come along and say that, you know, they're offended by that, and so the association could force you to take it out, or you could be sued, or the government could come in and say, well, no, that's offensive. You don't have the right to that kind of speech. This bill would have protected people that the government would have had a compelling interest in order to require the action not to be taken or to prevent the expression from happening. The sad part about it is that because of the demagoguery around the Arizona issue about it's all about, you know, gay rights, and it's funny, Mark and Chuck, I'm going to throw this out to you too. it's one of those things where maybe inadvertently they showed more cards than they planned on showing, because mm-hmm. what it really has exposed is the fact that there is a fundamental break between sincerely held Christianity and the practice of homosexuality. As much as they want to say, we're Christians too, and you should love us, and everybody should love us, the fact that if we sincerely hold to our beliefs, we cannot condone sin. We are to love the person and treat them with respect and try to convince them of the error of their ways, because we're called to do that. But with this, we can't even uphold our own religious viewpoints against the charge from the radical homosexual movement. And we had two members who are believers, who were the key sponsors on this bill, who, without even talking to the supporters, backed away from the bill because they were, honestly, I think they're scared of the homosexual movement.
Yeah. Well, you know, the point I was going to was that, there's a lot of things going on almost, it seems, by design, whether it's Governor Brewer or the Obama administration. It just seems like there is little tolerance anymore for Christianity, and the Romica decision is just like it's the most recent event that is almost spectacular, because there we are watching this and just shocked beyond measure that America, the home of the free, and here we're deporting a Christian family. That's unheard of. You know, 200 years ago, I cannot see our founding fathers allowing this to happen. It is just shocking. And it's not just the Obama administration, but it's the supposed conservative Supreme Court that we have. And it's just amazing that it just seems like so much is falling apart, almost as if it were a perfect storm gathering in the United States of America. And you know what? This needs to be a call. I like the way Fox News reported Congressman Phil Rowe from Tennessee, because when it came to the Romica decision, he said it may require civil disobedience with this bunch with regard to, you know, trying to provide asylum to this family. And you know what? I applaud Congressman Rowe, because how many people do you hear that from that's in Congress? And you know what? We have to be outraged over this. It's not just the Department of Justice, but it's the Supreme Court. It's Congress. Congress for failing to speak up while, you know, the Obama administration is. I heard one rumor that the Obama administration may consider signing an executive order to deport this family if the Supreme Court wouldn't have decided or would have taken the case. And you know what? This is just a sign of the times. And no matter if you homeschool or not, if you are a Christian believer, you are targeted and marked. And, you know, you just might as well go ahead and stand up, because if you don't, you may lose your rights sitting down.
This is something that Barry and I were talking about, this case. And we were talking about some of the political ramifications. And one of the reasons probably why this happened, my own pastor wrote me an inquiry, and we were talking about that. And essentially, my take on it was that one of the reasons that the Department of Homeland Security was basically allowed to let this case slide essentially has to do with the current political situation, in that this is a midterm year. The Democratic Party, frankly, isn't doing very well, and the fact that the commander-in-chief, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, is increasingly being looked at as capricious and dictatorial is not helping him with critical races in the House and the Senate that they have to win if they're going to have both houses or even one of the houses. In other words, Barack Obama is beginning to look like, very possibly, he will be a lame ducker with no one, not even one house in his pocket that he can count on. And actually, in a reply I wrote to someone today, I said, John Boehner's proclivity for snatching defeat from the jaws of victory notwithstanding, that what this looks like, this cost Barack Obama to allow this to go on exactly no political capital, nothing. It didn't do anything but lose him a little face, and really he thinks he can afford to lose a lot of face and it's not going to hurt him at all. And what it did was all the sycophants and kiss-ups can now say, see, what a magnanimous guy. Look what he did. But the bottom line of the thing is, this hurts his agenda to basically advance control of the federal government over education, over personal educational choices, not at all.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Chuck. It does. But, you know, make no mistake about it. You're completely accurate, according to my opinion, on your assessment, because, you know, frankly, let's just suppose, you know, that the Department of Justice decision was allowed to stand. You know, look at what kind of pushback could have really come from that. I mean, here, you know, the Romica family is the perfect sacrificial lamb, if you will. And there would have been so much sympathy and outpouring in this country. You know, already, you know, the homeschool community had heightened everybody's awareness. You know, Fox was constantly reporting on this, bless their hearts, because nobody else was. And you know what? I just think that the Obama administration has averted a very, very bad situation for themselves. I mean, he's already got a lot of pressure on his foreign policy right now, and there's a lot of people in this country that are unhappy with the administration, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. There's a lot of unhappy people in this country, and if they would have deported this family, it's always hard to say suppositionally what would happen, but you know, I cannot see them really getting out of this situation in a positive light, because this would have been on talk shows all over the place for a year. And they wouldn't have been able to get away with it. I just think that they would have paid a huge, dear price for deporting this family. And, you know, let's just put it back the way we said it earlier in this discussion. You know, it's not over yet. So we have no idea what's coming ultimately through these chain of events here.
You know, Mark, I'm going to add my 2 cents worth about this in from a political aspect. I believe, in one sense, Chuck is right. I don't believe that Barack Obama felt that there was much political capital to be lost with this issue because, well, let's embrace it. The vast majority of the public believe that homeschooling is a white, middle-class, conservative phenomenon. And those people don't vote for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And so if he doesn't stand up for homeschooling, it isn't like he's going to really lose support among his base. And so there's a political calculation there. The other political calculation, and this is the reason why I agree with you that it is far from over. This was just the finish of Act One, and the curtain's going to be rising on Act Two about the middle of November of this year, when after the midterm congressional elections dust has settled, Obama will know whether or not he still has control of the United States Senate. If he still controls the United States Senate, expect the Romicky family to get their deportation notice.
Yep.
Because the number one, they are going to defer this so that the Republicans can't use it as a campaign tool during midterm elections in the Senate. Because whether they use it in the House or not, but ultimately, with a court decision and whether or not the executive takes action through an executive order or not, in relation to whether or not this family gets deported, Congress is the check and balance on both of those other branches and could very easily step in and halt the deportation and nullify the Supreme Court decision on the issue. They have the right to do that, and they can strip the court from hearing any cases relating to asylum for home education in the United States from the federal courts. It is a power that they have, that Congress has in Article 1 and in Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution. But if Barack Obama and the Democrats are successful in holding the United States Senate,
yeah,
I would say that the Romicky family had either better look to go do civil disobedience and go into the Underground Railroad of homeschooling, yeah, or get ready to go back to Germany, because the administration at that point is a lame duck and they'll have control of at least half of Congress. So therefore, they know they can block an effort to check the decision, and they will pursue it. And I can almost see this as clearly as I can see my hand sitting here in front of me, in a political sense, because, again, the people that he would incense after November of 2014 don't matter to him anymore.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that. I hate to go too far down the road with some of this, but, I really think that if we even just leave it at the present right now, it's still a chilling situation because, many homeschool supporters believe that if parents' decision to educate their children aren't upheld, a fundamental human right has been breached. And you know what? Then we might as well throw the Bill of Rights out the window. And you know what? That we are seeing some very huge changes in how our government processes the law and how things are processed, whether it's legislatively or through the executive branch. There are some striking developments going on. And if Americans aren't paying attention to a conversation like this or others that are going on across the nation, they are going to lose their rights. I've said this before, and maybe even on your show, Barry, and Chuck, where, if people do not rise up now and do something, they will, if they are sitting, they will be seated losing their rights because they didn't stand up. And now is the time. We haven't lost. Now is the time. We can save this country and we can bring it back. We've just got to have citizens rise up. We've got to have Christians who are not afraid anymore to stand up and say they're Christians no matter where they're at. And you know what? It's up to us. It's up to the three of us here to be able to motivate people. It's up to God to be able to touch people's hearts that people have got to take action or they will lose their rights. They won't even just lose the right to exist freely. They will be put under bondage by this government. And, we've said a lot of chilling things here. The media has reported a lot of chilling things, a lot of things that are just, as I said before, if our forefathers 200 years ago could have seen what's going on now, they would have never thought it possible. And we got to do something, folks. We got to stand up, and we've got to be able to make our voices heard on this. And just because the Romaicas have been allowed to stay through the Department of Homeland Security, we need to keep vigilant and understand that there's still more to do.
Well, Mark, you're right. There is more to do. And part of the reason why we ask you to come on here is because you're one of these people who are doing something, who are standing. Why don't you share with our audience a little bit, because it's been a little while since the last time we had you on, about your organization and what you're doing.
Well, Barry, Ohioans for Educational Freedom, we are a political action committee, as you said, and we launched 4.5 years ago. We started with the State Board of Education, and we helped get 5 people elected over the last 4 years. We helped by a series of events for Debbie Tirhar, who is the board president, to become board president. And for a lot, she's done a lot to help our cause. Disappointingly, she is for Common Core standards, which we are against. Last election cycle in 2012, we had 1.9 million hits on our website because we have clickable maps of the state of Ohio. Our website is being redeveloped right now, and it's going to be relaunched for the primary season. But we are getting ready to release the names of close to between 20 and 30 primary challengers, because we want conservatives in the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate. And later on in the year, after the primaries are over, we will be assessing what came out of the primaries, and we will be rerunning candidates that won our primaries, and on top of that, running candidates for State Board of Education again this year. So we're going to be keeping a lot of homeschoolers busy around the state of Ohio, because we want them to get involved in working a grassroots campaign for homeschool-friendly candidates that are running for the legislature. And this is extremely important to our rights. So we wouldn't ask them to do things that take the time out of their busy schedule just to do things. This is to protect their right to home educate in the state of Ohio.
Well, I certainly agree with you there. And folks, if you want more information about Mark's organization, Ohioans for Educational Freedom, you can visit them online at ohioansforfreedom.com. And Mark, that's hopefully we will get a lot of input. Maybe this will wake people up across the country. If I remember, I saw a note that when Fox News put up the information about the Supreme Court decision on this case, that they received over 1 million page hits in 24 hours on this particular article. That's most that they've ever had on anything. I mean, now they're starting to feel like Matt Drudge a little bit, I think. But the point is that this doesn't just affect homeschoolers. Because with that decision, now, and again, and I should go back to this, we moved along, but I want to kind of rewind just real quickly on this. The fact that the United States Department of Justice and their attorneys filed briefs in this case arguing a point that there is no fundamental right for parents to direct the education of their children is now part of precedent. Because even though the Supreme Court denied cert on the case, the 6th United States Circuit Court of Appeals had made a ruling on this, and those arguments are part of the case file. They may be part of the rule. I haven't read the 6th Circuit decision on the Romaicke case. I really want to go back and read it, because if the majority opinion cites that government claim as part of the reason for denying them the right to stay in this country, Mark, we have bigger problems than we even expect, because it is now part of precedent. And we all know that when whoever it is, Barack Obama, George Bush, or whoever it might be next, want to put somebody on the court, they go in front of the United States Senate, and the first questions they get asked, besides your name, your age, and your hat size, is where do you stand on the doctrine of stare decisis, and how do you feel about, you know, upholding the precedence of the court? Really? All parents, both home educating and private and public school educating parents, should be very much alarmed at the direction we're heading.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I said earlier that and especially Christians in this country, those who profess to name the name of Christ in their lives, for us to understand the value of the religious freedom that we've had for the last 200 and some plus years that the United States of America has been in existence, you better understand that you are living on borrowed time right now with regard to your religious freedom, because as we speak, this administration is dismantling those rights quicker than you can blink an eye. And that should just serve notice. I know that that kind of paradigm is hard for people to grasp, because everybody lives a busy life and people just don't have time to pay attention to this anymore. But, you know, and it's kind of disappointing in the fact that a lot of people don't seem to slow down enough to hear the words, "You are losing your rights." And if somebody doesn't say it loud and hard enough, and you know what, Barry and Chuck, this has got to get into the churches. The churches have got to allow somebody to stand up and speak like a watchman on the wall, and to be able to tell people, look, this isn't a matter of partisan politics. This is a matter of standing up for your rights, Democrats, Republicans, independents. It doesn't matter who you are. If you profess to have religious rights in this country, then you better think about fighting for them, because they're being dismantled. So, you know, this affects everyone. You're completely right. But people need to stand up now and take action, or they will not have their rights anymore.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that if you really want to see where this can go, look at countries like Germany, who will tear families apart to take the kids and put them into government-approved programs that benefit the government and the industries of Germany. Now, we're doing that now over here, but we're calling it Common Core standards now, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, you know, take Common Core standards. Again, it's a socialist system of education that the federal government is pushing into the states. And what's disappointing is Republicans and Democrats both alike are embracing the socialism. And it's just so disappointing, because it's kind of hard to explain to these people when they don't want to sit down and listen. You try to take an hour to explain things to people, and all they want to do is debate the merits of taking the federal money so that they can have more money in their state kitty to be able to balance their state budgets by taking the federal money. And you know what? That's a totally wrong vision of state government. We've got to learn to live without federal funds. And if you can't do that, then we need to start electing new people to do it.
Amen. I believe that's where we have to get to, which means that we have to get a lot of good Christian families out of the pews and, well, sadly, sometimes off the couches, and get them active and engaged in realizing that, number one, their vote does count, and number two, it counts double, because if they actually come out and cast it for a good Christian, conservative, educational freedom candidate, they've doubled up against the establishment. They've doubled up against the people who want to see them go away, because they're taking a vote away from the establishment candidate and giving the vote to the principled candidate, and that's a twofer. Now, there aren't too many places where you're going to get win-wins like that for just getting up and actually doing what is a duty for us as Christians, and that is to be engaged in our culture, that is to be civically minded, that is to be salt and light, and to, as we have been blessed to be in this country where we get to choose those who we put in authority over us and follow Romans 13, and they follow Romans 13 of being ministers of God for our good, we have that opportunity. These are not people who are picked because of their bloodlines, or picked because of just the power brokers that be appoint from inside their own cabals. Although that does happen, we know.
Yeah.
We have the right, and if we exercise that right with wisdom and we exercise that right with diligence, Mark, we can see things changing. Now, we can't change men's hearts by just putting the right people in office. We know that. That takes the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we can change the direction our politics is going if we put people who have the gospel of Jesus Christ as the center of their lives in public offices.
Yeah. Well, you know, we vet our candidates very carefully with a questionnaire. And, you know, it's awfully rewarding to read through the questionnaires that the candidates bring back to me, because One candidate this morning actually confessed to me. He's going like, you know, you have a lot of questions on your questionnaire. I said, yeah. And he said, well, you know, a lot of them too made me stop and think. And I was really grateful for that statement because, you know, we do try to help our candidates think through the series of questions that we offer on our questionnaire because we want the candidate ultimately to reflect the values, core values of Ohioans for Educational Freedom. And, you know, when we want to know if that candidate is determined to repeal Common Core standards in Ohio or if they are against health-based clinics in Ohio or if they are completely for giving more freedom to homeschoolers in Ohio, you can bet that we want to run these folks as candidates and we want to ask homeschoolers and any conservative to get behind people like this because they are for less government and more power to the people. And you know what? That's got to be an attractive package for anybody to vote for. And I know people are tired of voting for the lesser of two evils. But you know what? That's what the primary season is for, is to give the conservative a chance. And that's why the conservative population in Ohio needs to come out and not just vote in the May 6th primary, but also to help these people. Donate money to their campaign. Make phone calls for their campaign. Go door to door for their campaign. You know, there's plenty of things that you call a campaign up, and believe me, we're going to have up on our website the whole list of candidates that we support, how to get a hold of them, how to donate to them, how to give them of your time and your resources. And you know what? This just helps the grassroots to understand that they are valued. And it's not just that their vote is important, but their action is important before that vote. So here we are. We are appealing to not just, you know, Tea Party and 912 groups,
right,
but pro-life groups and pro-homeschool groups, pro-parental choice in education. So we want to appeal to those that hold our core values. Go out and support these candidates. Do something for them. They're laying themselves on the line right now for your rights and our rights and their rights. And they are putting themselves out there with very little money sometimes and saying, you know, I'm willing to stand up for these core values. And now is the time to prove that you're made of the same metal as these people are. So they deserve our support.
Excellent. Well, Mark,
well, we'd better hear what that what that website is more than once, Mark.
Yes. Well, it's OhioansForFreedom.com. That's our domain name. And again, we are in the rebuild stage, so you will get the site, but some of the pages are still being worked on. So just keep bookmark OhioansForFreedom.com. That's where we're at, and we will have the candidates that we support probably within the next week.
Well, very
excellent.
Good.
Well, thank you, Mark. We appreciate you taking the time out today to be with us to talk about this issue, to talk about a range of issues. It seems like we always do that when we get on the line because many of these issues all intersect around whether or not we're going to have the freedoms as believers, as Christians, and as homeschoolers to be able to continue to publicly exercise those freedoms. And Mark, we thank you for being on the front lines. I know it's a thankless and tireless job, folks. You know, we usually don't say much about donating to our organization because, you know, we're a shoestring and a prayer kind of group and a budget, and that's fine. Mark doesn't even have the shoestring most of the time. So why don't you, if you've got some extra in your tithe this week, or you've got some extra in your discretionary spending, your discretionary giving counts, why don't you think about writing a support check for Ohioans for Freedom? Folks, they're out there doing the work to help you to have more liberty in what you do in your life.
Mark, have you got an online donation section?
We do, but that page is down at the moment.
Okay.
So if they want to mail a donation at the moment, it's P.O. Box 8777, Canton, Ohio, 44711. And we will have the donation page up by the weekend. So
okay. And it's Ohioans for Educational Freedom.
Yes, but the domain name is OhioansForFreedom.com.
Right. But if you're going to make a check, make it payable to Ohioans for Educational Freedom.
Yes.
And the website is OhioansForFreedom.com. Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, again, Mark, thanks for being with us. We appreciate the time, and we look forward to seeing that list of candidates, and hopefully we can get a lot of people who will be willing to engage and help and do the things that need to be done, making the phone calls, going door to door, handing out the lit, and, well, you know, in the era of social media, just letting everybody else know who's a good person to vote for.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Barry and Chuck. I really appreciate your time today.
Thanks for being with us. That'll take us out to the end of our time for today. Please join us again next week for another Principles and Policies.